He taught him how he could control the spirits of the air, the fire, the water and the earth, and he explained to him the secret doctrine of forgiveness, and the blotting out of sins. 9. One day Ajayanin sat with Jesus in the temple porch. A band of wandering singers and musicians paused before the court to sing and play. 10. Their music was most rich and delicate, and Jesus said, "Among the high-bred people of the land we hear no sweeter music than that these uncouth children of the wilderness bring here to us." 11. From whence this talent and this power? In one short life they could not gain such grace of voice, such knowledge of the laws of harmony and tone. 12. Men call them prodigies. There are no prodigies. All things result from natural law. 13. These people are not young. 1,000 years would not suffice to give them such divine expressiveness, and such purity of voice and touch. 14. 10,000 years ago these people mastered harmony. In days of old they trod the busy thoroughfares of life, and caught the melody of birds, and played on harps of perfect form. 15. And they have come again to learn still other lessons from the varied notes of manifests. 57. 16. These wandering people form a part of heaven's orchestra, and in the land of perfect things the very angels will delight to hear them play and sing. 17. And Jesus taught the common people of Lahore, he healed their sick, and showed to them the way to rise to better things by helpfulness. 18. He said, "We are not rich by what we get and hold. The only things we keep are those we give away." 19. If you would live the perfect life, give forth your life in service for your kind, and for the forms of life that men esteem the lower forms of life. 20. But Jesus could not tarry longer in Lahore. He bade the priests and other friends farewell, and then he took his camel and he went his way toward the Sind. 58. Section 8. Cheth. Life and Works of Jesus in Persia. Chapter 38. Jesus crosses Persia, teaches and heals in many places. 3 Magian priests meet him as he nears Persepolis. Caspar, and 2 other Persian masters, meet him in Persepolis. The 7 masters sit in silence 7 days. 1. 24 years of age was Jesus when he entered Persia on his homeward way. 2. In many a hamlet, town and neighborhood he paused a while and taught and healed. 3. The priests and ruling classes did not welcome him, because he censured them for cruelty to those of low estate. 4. The common people followed him in throngs. 5. At times the chiefs made bold to try to hinder him, forbidding him to teach or heal the sick. But he regarded not their angry threats, he taught, and healed the sick. 6. In time he reached Persepolis, the city where the kings of Persia were entombed, the city of the learned Magi, Hor, and Lun, and Mer, the 3 wise men. 7. Who, 24 years before, had seen the Star of Promise rise above Jerusalem, and who had journeyed to the west to find the newborn king. 8. And were the first to honor Jesus as the master of the age, and gave him gifts of gold, gum thus and myrrh. 9. These magi knew, by ways that masters always know, when Jesus neared Persepolis, and then they girt themselves, and went to meet him on the way. 10. And when they met, a light much brighter than the light of day surrounded them, and men who saw the 4 stand in the way declared they were transfigured, seeming more like gods than men. 11. Now, Hor and Lun were aged men, and Jesus placed them on his beast to ride into Persepolis, whilst he and Mer led on the way. 12. And when they reached the Magi's home they all rejoiced, and Jesus told the thrilling story of his life, and Hor and Lun and Mer spoke not, they only looked to heaven, and in their hearts praised God. 13. 3 wise men from the north were in Persepolis, and they were Caspar, Zara and Melzone, and Caspar was the wisest master of the Magian land. These 3 were at the home of Hor and Lun and Mer when Jesus came. 59. 14. For 7 days these 7 men spoke not, they sat in silence in the council hall in close communion with the silent brotherhood. 15. They sought for light, for revelation and for power. The laws and precepts of the coming age required all the wisdom of the masters of the world. Chapter 39. Jesus attends a feast in Persepolis, speaks to the people, reviewing the Magian philosophy, explains the origin of evil, spends the night in prayer. 1. A feast in honor of the Magian God was being held, and many men were gathered in Persepolis. 2. And on the great day of the feast the ruling Magian master said, "Within these sacred walls is liberty, whoever wills to speak may speak." 3. And Jesus, standing in the midst of all the people, said, "My brothers, sisters, children of our Father God, 4. Most blessed are you among the sons of men today, because you have such just conceptions of the Holy One and man. 5. Your purity in worship and in life is pleasing unto God, and to your master, Zarathustra, praise is due. 6. Well say you all, there is one God from whose great being there came forth the 7 spirits that created heaven and earth, and manifest unto the sons of men are these great spirits in the sun, and moon, and stars. 7. But in your sacred books we read that 2 among these 7 are of superior strength, that one of these created all the good, the other one created all that evil is. 8. I pray you, honored masters, tell me how that evil can be born of that which is all good? 9. A Magus rose and said, "If you will answer me, your problem will be solved." 10. We all do recognize the fact that evil is. Whatever is, must have a cause. If God, the One, made not this evil, then, where is the God who did? 11. And Jesus said, "Whatever God, the One, has made is good, and like the great first cause, the 7 spirits all are good, and everything that comes from their creative hands is good." 12. Now, all created things have colors, tones and forms their own, but certain tones, though good and pure themselves, when mixed, produce in harmonies, discordant tones. 13. And certain things, though good and pure, when mixed, produce discordant things, yea, poisonous things, that men call evil things. 14. So evil is the inharmonious blending of the colors, tones, or forms of good. 60. 15. Now, man is not all wise, and yet has will his own. He has the power, and he uses it, to mix God's good things in a multitude of ways, and every day he makes discordant sounds, and evil things. 16. And every tone and form, be it of good, or ill, becomes a living thing, a demon, sprite, or spirit of a good or vicious kind. 17. Man makes his evil thus, and then becomes afraid of him and flees. His devil is emboldened, follows him away and casts him into torturing fires. 18. The devil and the burning fires are both the works of man, and none can put the fires out and dissipate the evil one, but man who made them both. 19. Then Jesus stood aside, and not a Magus answered him. 20. And he departed from the throng and went into a secret place to pray. Chapter 40. Jesus teaches the Magians, explains the silence and how to enter it. Caspar extols the wisdom of Jesus. Jesus teaches in the groves of Cyrus. 1. Now, in the early morning Jesus came again to teach and heal. A light not comprehended shone about, as though some mighty spirit overshadowed him. 2. A Magus noted this and asked him privately to tell from whence his wisdom came, and what the meaning of the light. 3. And Jesus said, "There is a silence where the soul may meet its God, and there the fount of wisdom is, and all who enter are immersed in light, and filled with wisdom, love and power." 4. The Magus said, "Tell me about this silence and this light, that I may go and there abide." 5. And Jesus said, "The silence is not circumscribed, is not a place closed in with wall, or rocky steeps, nor guarded by the sword of man. 6. Men carry with them all the time the secret place where they might meet their God. 7. It matters not where men abide, on mountain top, in deepest vale, in marts of trade, or in the quiet home, they may at once, at any time, fling wide the door, and find the silence, find the house of God, it is within the soul. 8. One may not be so much disturbed by noise of business, and the words and thoughts of men if he goes all alone into the valley or the mountain pass. 9. And when life's heavy load is pressing hard, it is far better to go out and seek a quiet place to pray and meditate. 10. The silence is the kingdom of the soul, which is not seen by human eyes. 61. 11. When in the silence, phantom forms may flit before the mind, but they are all subservient to the will, the master soul may speak and they are gone. 12. If you would find this silence of the soul, you must yourself prepare the way. None but the pure in heart may enter here. 13. And you must lay aside all tenseness of the mind, all business cares, all fears, all doubts and troubled thoughts. 14. Your human will must be absorbed by the divine, then you will come into a consciousness of holiness. 15. You are in the holy place, and you will see upon a living shrine the candle of the Lord aflame. 16. And when you see it burning there, look deep into the temple of your brain, and you will see it all aglow. 17. In every part, from head to foot, are candles all in place, just waiting to be lighted by the flaming torch of love. 18. And when you see the candles all aflame, just look, and you will see, with eyes of soul, the waters of the fount of wisdom rushing on, and you may drink, and there abide. 19. And then the curtains part, and you are in the holiest of all, where rests the ark of God, whose covering is the mercy seat. 20. Fear not to lift the sacred board, the tables of the law are in the ark concealed. 21. Take them and read them well, for they contain all precepts and commands that men will ever need. 22. And in the ark, the magic wand of prophecy lies waiting for your hand, it is the key to all the hidden meanings of the present, future, past. 23. And then, behold the manna there, the hidden bread of life, and he who eats shall never die. 24. The cherubim have guarded well for every soul this treasure box, and whosoever will may enter in and find his own. 25. Now Caspar heard the Hebrew master speak and he exclaimed, behold, the wisdom of the gods has come to men. 26. And Jesus went his way, and in the sacred groves of Cyrus, where the multitudes were met, he taught and healed the sick. 62. Chapter 41. Jesus stands by a healing fountain. Reveals the fact that faith is the potent factor in healing and many are healed by faith. A little child teaches a great lesson of faith. 1. A flowing spring that people called the healing fount was near Persepolis. 2. And all the people thought that at a certain time of the year their deity came down and gave a virtue to the waters of the fount, and that the sick who then would plunge into the fount and wash would be made whole. 3. About the fount a multitude of people were in waiting for the Holy One to come and potentize the waters of the fount. 4. The blind, the lame, the deaf, the dumb, and those obsessed were the 5. And Jesus, standing in the midst of them, exclaimed, behold the spring of life. These waters that will fail are honored as the special blessing of your God. 6. From whence do healing virtues come? Why is your God so partial with his gifts? Why does he bless this spring today, and then tomorrow take his blessings all away? 7. A deity of power could fill these waters full of healing virtue every day. 8. Hear me, you sick, disconsolate. The virtue of this fount is not a special gift of God. 9. Faith is the healing power of every drop of all the waters of this spring. 10. He who believes with all his heart that he will be made whole by washing in this fount will be made whole when he has washed, and he may wash at any time. 11. Let everyone who has this faith in God and in himself plunge in these waters now. And Washington 12. And many of the people plunged into the crystal fount, and they were healed. 13. And then there was a rush, for all the people were inspired with faith, and each one strove to be among the first to wash, lest all the virtue be absorbed. 14. And Jesus saw a little child, weak, faint and helpless, sitting all alone beyond the surging crowd, and there was none to help her to the fount. 15. And Jesus said, "My little one, why do you sit and wait? Why not arise and hasten to the fount and wash, and be made well?" 16. The child replied, "I need not haste. The blessings of my Father in the sky are measured not in tiny cups, they never fail, their virtues are the same forevermore." 17. When these whose faith is weak must haste to wash for fear their faith will fail, have all been cured, these waters will be just as powerful for me. 18. Then I can go and stay a long, long time within the blessed waters of the spring. 63. 19. And Jesus said, "Behold a master soul. She came to earth to teach to men the power of faith." 20. And then he lifted up the child and said, "Why wait for anything? The very air we breathe is filled with balm of life. Breathe in this balm of life in faith and be made whole." 21. The child breathed in the balm of life in faith, and she was well. 22. The people marveled much at what they heard and saw. They said, "This man must surely be the God of health made flesh." 23. And Jesus said, "The fount of life is not a little pool, it is as wide as are the spaces of the heavens." 24. The waters of the fount are love, the potency is faith, and he who plunges deep into the living springs, in living faith, may wash away his guilt and be made whole, and freed from sin. 64. Section 9. Teth. Life and Works of Jesus in Assyria. Chapter 42. Jesus bids the Magians farewell. Goes to Assyria. Teaches the people in Ur of Chaldea. Meets Ashbina, with whom he visits many towns and cities, teaching and healing the sick. 1. In Persia Jesus' work was done and he resumed his journey towards his native land. 2. The Persian sage went with him to the Euphrates, then with a pledge that they would meet again in Egypt land the masters said, "Farewell." 3. And Caspar went his way unto his home beside the Caspian Sea, and Jesus soon was in Chaldea, cradle land of Israel. 4. In Ur, where Abraham was born, he tarried for a time, and when he told the people who he was, and why he came, they came from near and far to speak to him. 5. He said to them, "We all are kin. 2,000 years and more ago, our father Abraham lived here in Ur, and then he worshipped God the One, and taught the people in these sacred groves." 6. And he was greatly blessed, becoming father of the mighty hosts of Israel. 7. Although so many years have passed since Abraham and Sarah walked these ways, a remnant of their kindred still abides in Ur. 8. And in the hearts the God of Abraham is still adored, and faith and justice are the rocks on which they build. 9. Behold this land. It is no more the fruitful land that Abraham loved so well, the rains come not as in the former times, the vine is not productive now, and withered are the figs. 10. But this shall not forever be, the time will come when all your deserts will rejoice, when flowers will bloom, when all your vines will bend their heads with luscious fruit, shepherds will again be glad. 11. And Jesus preached to them the gospel of goodwill, and peace on earth. He told them of the brotherhood of life, and of the inborn powers of man, and of the kingdom of the soul. 12. And as he spoke, Ashbina, greatest sage of all Assyria, stood before his face. 13. The people knew the sage, for he had often taught them in their sacred halls and groves, and they rejoiced to see his face. 14. Ashbina said, "My children of Chaldea, hear. Behold, for you are greatly blessed today, because the prophet of the living God has come to you. 15. Take heed to what this master says, for he gives forth the words that God has given him. 65. 16. And Jesus and the sage went through the towns and cities of Chaldea and of the lands between the Tigris and the Euphrates. 17. And Jesus healed a multitude of people who were sick. Chapter 43. Jesus and Ashpenaz visit Babylon and remark its desolation. The two masters remain in company 7 days, then Jesus resumes his homeward journey, arrives in Nazareth. His mother gives a feast in his honor. His brothers are displeased. Jesus tells his mother and aunt the story of his journeys. 1. The ruined Babylon was near, and Jesus and the sage went through her gates and walked among her fallen palaces. 2. They trod the streets where Israel once was held in base captivity. 3. They saw where Judah's sons and daughters hung their harps upon the willows, and refused to sing. 4. They saw where Daniel and the Hebrew children stood as living witnesses of faith. 5. And Jesus lifted up his hand and said, "Behold the grandeur of the works of man." 6. The king of Babylon destroyed the temple of the Lord in Old Jerusalem. He burned the holy city, bound in chains my people and my kin, and brought them here as slaves. 7. But retribution comes, for whatsoever men shall do to other men the righteous judge will do to them. 8. The son of Babylon has gone down, the songs of pleasure will be heard no more within her walls. 9. And every kind of creeping thing and unclean bird will, in these ruins, find their homes. 10. And in the temple Belus, Jesus and Ashpenaz stood in silent thought. 11. Then Jesus spoke and said, "Behold this monument of folly and of shame." 12. Men tried to shake the very throne of God, and he essayed to build a tower to reach to heaven, when, lo, his very speech was snatched away, because in lofty words he boasted of his power. 13. And on these heights the heathen Baal stood, the god wrought out by hands of man. 14. Upon yon altar, birds, and beasts, and men, yea, children have been burned in awful sacrifice to Baal. 15. But now the gory priests are dead, the very rocks have shuddered and have fallen down. The place is desolate. 16. Now, in the plains of Shinar Jesus tarried yet for 7 days, and, with Ashpenaz, meditated long upon the needs of men, and how the sages could best serve the coming age. 17. Then Jesus went his way, and after many days he crossed the Jordan to his native land. At once he sought his home in Nazareth. 66. 18. His mother's heart was filled with joy, she made a feast for him, inviting all her kindred and her friends. 19. But Jesus' brothers were not pleased that such attention should be paid to one they deemed a sheer adventurer, and they went not into the feast. 20. They laughed their brothers' claims to scorn, they called him indolent, ambitious, vain, a worthless fortune hunter, searcher of the world for fame, who, after many years returns to mother's home with neither gold, nor any other wealth. 21. And Jesus called aside his mother and her sister, Miriam, and told them of his journey to the east. 22. He told them of the lessons he had learned, and of the works that he had done. To others he told not the story of his life. 67. Section X. Judd. Life and Works of Jesus in Greece. Chapter 44. Jesus visits Greece and is welcomed by the Athenians, meets Apollo, addresses the Grecian masters in the amphitheater. The address. 1. The Greek philosophy was full of pungent truth, and Jesus longed to study with the masters in the schools of Greece. 2. And so he left his home in Nazareth and crossed the Carmel hills, and at the port took ship, and soon was in the Grecian capital. 3. Now, the Athenians had heard of him as teacher and philosopher, and they were glad to have him come to them that they might hear his words of truth. 4. Among the masters of the Greeks was one, Apollo, who was called Defender of the Oracle, and recognized in many lands as Grecian sage. 5. Apollo opened up for Jesus all the doors of Grecian law, and in the Areopagus he heard the wisest masters speak. 6. But Jesus brought to them a wisdom greater far than theirs, and so he taught. 7. Once in the amphitheatre he stood, and when Apollo bade him speak he said, 8. Athenian masters, hear. In ages long ago, men, wise in nature's laws, sought out and found the place on which your city stands. 9. Full well you know that there are parts of earth where its great beating heart throws heavenward etheric waves that meet the ethers from above. 10. Where spirit light and understanding, like the stars of night, shine forth. 11. Of all the parts of earth there is no place more sensitized, more truly spirit-blessed, than that where Athens stands. 12. Yea, all of Greece is blessed. No other land has been the homeland of such mighty men of thought as grace your scrolls of fame. 13. A host of sturdy giants of philosophy, of poetry, of science, and of art, were born upon the soil of Greece, and rocked to manhood in your cradle of pure thought. 14. I come not here to speak of science, of philosophy, or art, of these you are the world's best masters now. 15. But all your high accomplishments are but stepping stones to worlds beyond the realm of sense, are but elusive shadows flitting on the walls of time. 68. 16. But I would tell you of a life beyond, within, a real life that cannot pass away. 17. In science and philosophy there is no power strong enough to fit a soul to recognize itself, or to commune with God. 18. I would not stay the flow of your great streams of thought, but I would turn them to the channels of the soul. 19. Unaided by the spirit breath, the work of intellection tends to solve the problems of the things we see, and nothing more. 20. The senses were ordained to bring into the mind mere pictures of the things that pass away. They do not deal with real things, they do not comprehend eternal law. 21. But man has something in his soul, a something that will tear the veil apart that he may see the world of real things. 22. We call this something, spirit consciousness. It sleeps in every soul, and cannot be awakened till the holy breath becomes a welcome guest. 23. This holy breath knocks at the door of every soul, but cannot enter in until the will of man throws wide the door. 24. There is no power in intellect to turn the key. Philosophy and science both have toiled to get a glimpse behind the veil, but they have failed. 25. The secret spring that throws ajar the door of soul is touched by nothing else than purity in life, by prayer and holy thought. 26. Return, O mystic stream of Grecian thought, and mingle your clear waters with the flood of spirit life, and then the spirit consciousness will sleep no more, and man will know, and God will bless. 27. When Jesus had thus said, he stepped aside. The Grecian masters were astonished at the wisdom of his words, they answered not. Chapter 45. Jesus teaches the Greek masters. Goes with Apollo to Delphi and hears the oracle speak. It testifies for him. He abides with Apollo, and is recognized as the living oracle of God. Explains to Apollo the phenomenon of oracular speech. 1. For many days the Grecian masters listened to the clear, incisive words that Jesus spoke, and while they could not fully comprehend the things he said, they were delighted and accepted his philosophy. 2. One day as Jesus and Apollo walked beside the sea, a Delphic courier came in haste and said, Apollo, master, come, the oracle would speak to you. 3. Apollo said to Jesus, Sir, if you would see the Delphic oracle, and hear it speak, you may accompany me. And Jesus did accompany him. 4. The masters went in haste, and when they came to Delphi, great excitement reigned. 5. And when Apollo stood before the oracle it spoke and said, 6. Apollo, sage of Greece, the bell strikes 12, The midnight of the ages now has come. 7. Within the womb of nature ages are conceived, they gestate and are born in glory with the rising sun, and when the Ajic sun goes down the age disintegrates and dies. 8.